This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How preparation replaces nervous body language, the case for scripted conversation practice. Why your body tells the truth before your mouth gets a chance to lie. In short, nervous body language is not a confidence problem. It is a preparation problem. When your mind strains to find words under pressure, your body pays the price in collapsed posture, averted eyes, and uncontrolled gestures. Scripted conversation practice removes that mental strain, and your physical presence changes as a direct result. Definition: nervous body language describes the involuntary physical signals produced when a person is mentally unprepared for a high-pressure conversation. Postural collapse, broken eye contact, tight or restless gestures, and shallow breathing that others read as anxiety, uncertainty, or lack of credibility. I have watched people walk into a room knowing exactly what they believe, and walk out having communicated something entirely different. Not because they lied. Not because they lacked intelligence. Because their body told a different story the moment the pressure arrived. The nervous body language was already broadcasting before they said a word. The cave chest, the eyes that could not quite hold steady, the hands that gripped the chair arm too tightly. Over 6 decades of working with people on how they communicate, I have come to understand this clearly. The body does not lie about what the mind has not yet resolved. If you want to change how your body behaves under pressure, you must go upstream to the source of the problem. What your body is actually doing when pressure hits. Most people treat nervous body language as a confidence issue. They tell themselves they need to feel more assured before a difficult conversation, as if calm physical presence is something you wait to feel rather than something you build. That framing sends people in the wrong direction entirely. Here is what is actually happening. When you enter a high-stakes conversation without genuine preparation, your mind carries an enormous cognitive load. It is trying to monitor the other person, process their words, manage your emotional reaction, and simultaneously search for the right language to respond. That is too many tasks running at once. The mental system becomes overwhelmed, and the body registers this as threat. When the body registers threat, it activates the same physical responses it uses for any danger: shallow breathing, muscle tension in the shoulders and neck, reduced peripheral awareness, and a narrowing of focus. These are the physical foundations of what we call nervous body language. Your posture collapses inward as a protective gesture. Your eye contact fragments because your attention is being pulled in too many directions. Your hands move without intention because conscious control of gesture requires spare mental capacity, and you have none to spare. This is why you can walk out of a difficult conversation knowing you had the right ideas, but feeling that your body undermined you. It did. Not because you are weak, but because the cognitive load was too heavy. Understanding this connection is the thing that changes everything, because it points directly to the solution. Reduce the cognitive load, and the body settles. You can also read more about the neurological side of this in What is the Amygdalar Hijack? And How Does It Escalate Workplace Tension in High-Pressure Moments? Why scripts solve a physical problem, not just a verbal one? This is the insight that most communication advice misses entirely. People think scripts are about words. They are about your body. When you have practiced the opening of a conversation so thoroughly that the language comes automatically, your mind does not need to search for it in the moment. The words are already there, accessible without effort. That freed mental capacity does not simply sit idle. It flows directly into physical control: steadier eye contact, a more open chest, hands that rest rather than grip, a voice that finds its natural register rather than climbing in pitch. I cover this exact mechanism in Say It Right Every Time, where the scripted principles progression explains how practicing word-for-word language first gives people far more than verbal fluency. It gives them back control of their body under pressure. The script is not the destination. It is a training tool that frees your nervous system to stop treating the conversation as a threat. Think of it this way. A skilled musician does not watch their fingers while performing. Their fingers have learned the work so thoroughly that the musician's full attention can be present in the music itself. You have seen what happens when a musician loses that fluency mid-performance: tension, hesitation, a body that suddenly communicates uncertainty. The same principle holds in difficult conversation. Fluency at the verbal level produces composure at the physical level. There is no other reliable shortcut. What nervous body language actually signals to the other person? Let me be direct about something that is uncomfortable to face. The other person in a high-stakes conversation is reading your body constantly, and they are drawing conclusions from it whether you want them to or not. This is worth understanding clearly because it raises the stakes of preparation. When your posture collapses, the other person registers it as a lack of conviction in what you're saying. When your eye contact fragments, they read it as either discomfort with the truth or a lack of respect for the conversation. When your hands move restlessly without purpose, they process it as agitation or instability. These are not conscious judgments on their part. They are fast, automatic interpretations of physical signals, and they happen in the first seconds of interaction. The difficult part is this: you can say the right words and still lose the conversation at the body language level. A nonverbal communication pattern during tense situations that reads as anxiety or defensiveness will consistently overpower the verbal content in the other person's perception. This is not theory. This is what I have observed in workplaces, in negotiation rooms, and in difficult personal conversations over many decades. The body speaks first, and its message lingers. Where most people's preparation goes wrong. There's a particular kind of preparation that feels thorough, but actually makes nervous body language worse. It is the mental rehearsal trap, lying in bed the night before a difficult conversation, running through imagined arguments in your head, anticipating what the other person might say, and preparing sharp responses to each scenario. You have done this. I have done this. It feels productive, and it is nearly useless for body language. Mental rehearsal, without speaking the words aloud, keeps the whole process in your head. It does not build verbal fluency. It builds mental familiarity with concepts. Those are entirely different things. When you arrive at the actual conversation, your mouth still has to find the words in real time, your body still faces an unfamiliar demand, and the cognitive load is just as heavy as it would have been without preparation. The body responds accordingly. You can read a deeper analysis of this specific trap in How the Rehearsal Trap Makes Workplace Tension Worse, and What to Do Instead. The distinction it draws is the same one I keep returning to in my own work: the difference between thinking about a conversation and preparing your body for one. Real preparation requires speaking aloud. It requires your mouth to form the words, your voice to find the right pace and register, your body to practice the physical act of delivering the message. Spoken rehearsal is the only kind that reduces cognitive load in the actual conversation, because it is the only kind that builds genuine verbal fluency. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Three situations where this shows up clearly. A manager preparing to address a team member's poor performance spends 2 days thinking through the problem and formulating their position mentally. When they sit down for the conversation, they know what they want to say. But the moment the team member pushes back, the manager's body tightens, shoulders rise, eye contact drops to the table, voice loses its steadiness. The preparation was all conceptual. The body never practiced. A professional preparing to ask for a promotion mentally rehearses the argument for a week. On the day, they walk into the meeting with a caved chest and hands clasped in their lap, already signalling submission before the conversation begins. The body knows it has never actually spoken these words under pressure before. It responds to that reality. Compare these to someone who speaks their opening lines aloud 10 times the evening before, who practices what comes after a challenge, who physically rehearses standing or sitting in a grounded, open position while saying the words. That person's body knows what it is doing by the time the conversation arrives. There is capacity left for composure. The core framework offers a useful structure for this kind of pre-conversation grounding, and it works precisely because it includes a physical component, not just a mental one. The practical shift from concept to spoken rehearsal. If you want to change your body language in a difficult conversation, here is the work. It is direct, and it is unglamorous. Take the core of what you need to say. Write it out in plain sentences, the kind of language you would naturally use, not formal or rehearsed sounding. Then speak it aloud, alone, and pay attention to what your body does. Most people notice immediately that speaking is harder than thinking. The words feel clumsy. The pace is wrong. There's the instinct to soften things or add unnecessary qualifications. Practice the opening 3 times. Then practice what you will say if the other person challenges you immediately. Speak those words aloud too, several times, until your voice finds its deadness and your body stops bracing. The conversation premortem is a useful companion here. It identifies the moments most likely to trigger your nervous system, so you can specifically rehearse those transitions rather than just the smooth sections for particularly damaged relationships or high-stakes repairs. Also consider the physical dimension of how the empathy bridge technique works before a difficult conversation even begins. Reducing the emotional charge before you work in reduces the body's threat response during it. And if a relationship has already broken down, the bridge method gives your spoken rehearsal a clear structure to work from, so that even in repair conversations, the preparation is specific rather than vague. The goal of this practice is not to make you sound scripted. It is to reduce the cognitive load enough that your body has spare capacity for presence. After 3 sessions of this kind of spoken rehearsal, most people report that the conversation feels less threatening. Not because the situation changed, but because their nervous system has prior experience of saying these words and surviving it. The Say It Right Every Time approach builds this into a structured daily practice, recognizing that fluency under pressure is not a gift, it is a skill built to do repetition. The change you will notice, and when. The first time you practice this way, it feels mechanical. That is correct. The first time a musician plays a difficult passage slowly, it also feels mechanical. That is the point. Mechanical practice at low pressure is what builds automatic fluency at high pressure. Within 2 to 3 weeks of consistent spoken rehearsal, something shifts. You will notice that your opening lines come without effort. You will notice that your chest stays open rather than caving when challenged. You will notice that your hands settle, that your eye contact holds steadier, that your voice finds its register without climbing. None of this is about performance. It is about cognitive load dropping far enough that your body stops treating the conversation as a survival situation. This is what genuine preparation looks like. It is not about controlling nervous body language from the outside, telling yourself to stand straighter or make more eye contact. It is about removing the root cause of those signals, which is a mind that is not ready for what the moment demands. Frequently asked questions. What is nervous body language? Nervous body language refers to the involuntary physical signals that appear when your mind is under pressure and unprepared: crossed arms, averted eyes, shallow breathing, postural collapse, and restless gestures. These signals communicate anxiety to others before you speak a single word. How does scripted practice reduce nervous body language? Scripted conversation practice reduces the cognitive load of finding words under pressure. When your mind is not scrambling for language, it releases the body from its fight-or-flight grip. Your posture opens, your eye contact steadies, and your gestures settle into natural, controlled movement. Can preparation really change your physical presence? Yes, and this is the point most people miss. Preparation does not just improve what you say. It changes how your body holds itself during the conversation. Reduced mental strain directly produces calmer, more open physical signals that others read as confidence and credibility. Why does nervous body language appear even when you know what to say? Knowing what to say and being prepared to say it are different things. Knowing is intellectual. Preparation is physical. Until you have rehearsed the words aloud repeatedly, your nervous system still treats the conversation as a threat, and your body responds accordingly with visible tension. What does nervous body language look like in a workplace conversation? In a workplace setting, nervous body language appears as a caved chest, avoiding eye contact with a manager, hands gripping a pen tightly, rocking slightly while standing, or voice rising in pitch. These are all signals your body sends when your mind feels unprepared and exposed. How long does it take to change nervous body language to practice? Most people notice a shift within 2 to 3 weeks of consistent scripted practice. The first sessions feel mechanical. By the second week, the words flow more naturally, cognitive load drops, and the body begins to settle. Physical presence improves as a direct consequence of verbal fluency. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.